do you want in a true crime podcast?
Do you want well-researched material, but an easy-to-follow format?
Do you want a bit of dark humor, but want sensitive topics handled, well, sensitively?
Do you want hosts who are lactose intolerant, but eat macaroni and cheese anyway?
Well, I think you might be looking for us. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca, and we're the hosts of the true crime podcast, Yours in Murder. And this isn't any old true crime podcast. I have a background in forensic science.
And I have a background in journalism, so we're able to combine our knowledge and bring you interesting new perspectives on cases.
Not that we're all serious. We have a bit of a dark sense of humor.
Just a bit. I mean, we like morbid jokes and cat jokes.
Lots of cat jokes. So if you're looking for something new and a bit out of the ordinary, check out Yours in Murder.
You can find us on all of your favorite podcatchers, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at yoursinmurder.net.
We hope to see you soon, and until next time, we are Yours in Murder.
In late April of 2017, Magdalena Żuk, a 27-year-old Polish woman, she arrived in the Egyptian beach resort town of Marza Alam for a week-long package vacation. She had planned a trip as a surprise for her boyfriend, but he was unable to travel with her due to passport and visa issues. Just one day after her arrival, Magdalena started acting strangely. She sent odd messages to family and friends back in Poland. She told people that she was hearing voices and she was seen shouting and making weird arm movements. Concerned hotel staff contacted her family in Poland and they organised for her to return home only 3 days after arriving in Egypt. When Magdalena arrived at the airport for her flight home, she was acting so erratically that she wasn't allowed to board the plane. Reports state that she removed her shoes and clothing. She was taken to a private hospital while arrangements were made for a friend to fly from Poland to accompany her home. Whilst at the hospital, she made multiple attempts to jump from a window and she was restrained with bed linen. A nurse untied her so she could use the bathroom, and Magdalena made her final fatal dash for the window. She jumped from a great height and landed on a set of concrete stairs. She was rushed to a larger hospital, but died only hours later. Within days, Magdalena's death had become one of the biggest stories to hit Poland in years. Her death has been linked to a range of allegations ranging from murder to sex trafficking. Hello, this is Insight, and my name is Ali. With me, as always, is Charlie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm crazy busy, but good. Before we start today's episode, today we will discuss themes involving suicide and depression. This may be distressing for some listeners. If you do find any of the topics of today's or any true crime podcast you listen to distressing, please contact Lifeline Chat in the United States on 1-800-273-8255 or Lifeline in Australia on 131114. We will provide links to these in the show notes.
Magdalena was known as Magda by her friends, and she was a 27-year-old beautician who grew up in Bogotynia, which is a small town in southwest Poland. She was extremely independent and moved out of her house when she was only 17 and moved to another town. This was based mostly on this difficult relationship she had with her father due to his own alcoholism. Magda was doing well in her personal life herself, though, as well as with her business. She had owned her own beauty salon in a town about a half hour north of where she grew up since she was only 22, and it had grown. At the time, she was studying at university. She got her bachelor's degree in dietetics, and she had a new boyfriend, Marcus Wodarski. And they were together about 3 months at the time this case takes place. Magda had organized a surprise week-long vacation for herself and her boyfriend Marcus at the all-inclusive Three Corners Equinox Beach Resort in Mersah Alam, which is on the Red Sea coast of Egypt. It was Marcus's birthday, and she wanted to celebrate it by going on this trip together. She told him the day before they were supposed to leave, seeing as this was a birthday surprise. But when it came time to depart, they discovered that Marcus had issues with his passport, and that meant he was ineligible for an Egyptian visa. Before the trip, 4 hours before they were due to fly out, Marcus attempted to sell their tickets on Facebook. Translated, the post read, "I will sell the ticket to Egypt. Flight is today at 8:20 p.m. 4-star hotel. Trip worth approximately $1,000. I will sell at half price for two people." But no one bought the tickets.
However, I'm not sure if this would even be possible. From what I can understand, you can't just sell flight tickets like that because the tickets would be printed in the name of the person who owns them, and I don't think that's transferable. And add on to that any travel agency documents, contracts, hotel reservations, I doubt it would even be possible.
It certainly wouldn't here in the US since, you know, 9/11. Absolutely would not have been possible. Magda had spent all this money on that vacation, so you can see why he was motivated to try to recoup some of the loss. She tried to find a friend to go, but this was incredibly short notice and everyone was already busy. And besides that, she really wanted to go on this trip, so she went ahead and decided to travel alone. She hadn't had a vacation in a while. The trip was paid for. It really made no sense to let this entire thing go to waste.
Her plane landed in Hurghada just after midnight on Wednesday morning on April 25, 2017. From there, she drove to the resort in Mersah Alam, where she stayed, as Charlie said, the Three Corners Equinox Beach Resort. Magda was seen having one alcoholic drink with a man from the tour company, and she was seen by several German tourists who were also staying at the resort. After just one day in Egypt, people started noticing Magda's strange behaviour. Her family had difficulty contacting her from the very start. It seems that her phone was switched off. But then she started to send strange messages to friends back in Poland, and she was alluding to the fact that they were all on vacation with her. Her text said things like, "Where are you? Come to me. And are we leaving yet?" She sent texts to other friends saying that she was hearing voices in her room, but these texts weren't being sent from her phone. Instead, they were being sent from a phone of an employee of the travel agency and Magda's tour guide, Mamond Carey. She sent photos of herself in bed. She said she was sick and she was covering her face. Finally, Magda does call her family and she speaks to her sister from the hotel lobby. Her sister will later report that Magda sounded incoherent and paranoid, and she's shouting down the phone. She tells her sister that she believes that someone put something in her drink. All of this happens in one day, and by Wednesday night, her state has gotten to the point that others around her at the resort are concerned by her behaviour. By Thursday morning, employees from the travel agency and the resort staff are seen trying to calm Magda down.
Her parents realize at this point that this situation is serious, and obviously they want to get to her and get Magda back home to Poland. They called the travel agency and the Polish embassy. It's worth mentioning at this point that Magda's behavior was very out of character for her. They claim she had no previous history of suffering from delusions or any other mental illness, nor is it reported anywhere that anyone in the family said that there was a family history of mental illness. Her father did have alcoholism, which is, you know, often a self-medication for mental illness, but we're not talking this big family history or anything like psychosis. People often compare this case to Elisa Lam, but in that case, she did have a personal history of mental health issues. Magda didn't. But a person doesn't need to have a history of mental illness to suffer from a mental illness. Family history and personal history of mental illness, of course, increase the chances of there being an incident like this. But people with no family history of it and no previous behaviors indicating a decline in mental health can still have a mental break or a sudden onset of delusions. There may have been underlying issues that developed because of a traumatic incident, because of drug use, whether voluntary or involuntary. Viruses can cause issues like this. There is a good memoir out there called Brain on Fire about someone who had a rapid onset of psychosis due to a rare autoimmune issue. Or it could be something our family doesn't even know about. She was 27 years old. Maybe she had been feeling ill or exhibiting unusual behaviors, but her ambitious and independent nature compensated, and it made it harder for people to spot. Her boyfriend, Marcus, at this point, also, obviously everyone in Poland is entirely concerned with what's going on with Magda. So he contacts another friend named Maciej to try to get to Egypt to make sure she's okay. Obviously, the passport issue was still stopping Marcus from being able to just go into Egypt. So he thought maybe he could just go ahead and buy Magda the first ticket he could find to get her out of there and get her home. And that flight was scheduled for 2 days' time on the Saturday.
On Friday morning, April 28, 2017, Magda was found unconscious in her hotel room by some tourists. Oddly, the staff recorded all of this and sent it to her family to show them how bad she was. Now, this video shows her lying motionless in the doorway of her room. She's dressed in only a bathrobe. She is then seen flailing around and making erratic arm movements. Now, this video is available on YouTube, and we'll make this one and all the other videos relevant to today's episode available on Facebook and the website. Something that I found unsettling in these videos is there are people around her and no one seems to be offering her any assistance. If Magda was in fact having some sort of psychotic break or a delusional episode and she was acting out physically, yes, I do understand that your safety is at the foremost concern. But in the footage that I've seen, it just seems not quite right to me. Because of her losing consciousness and her erratic behaviour, Magda was transported to the hospital. Now, they'll later advise the family that there was nothing they could do to help her because they don't treat mental illnesses. A doctor would later report that hospital staff were unable to get her out of the car. But there is footage of her walking on her own free will into the hospital, and she seems relatively calm when compared to the other footage that is available out there. Another contemporary news article does say that they offered her treatment, but she refused it. We don't know which of these stories are actually true. Regardless, they released her, and she eventually went back to the resort. On Saturday, Kerry checked her out of the hotel and they went to the airport in preparation for her flight back to Poland.
At the airport, Magda was refused entry onto the flight due to being in such a bad mental condition. Some reports say she was screaming and trying to take her clothes off. Other reports state that she appeared to be drunk, and that is grounds enough for not letting her on the flight. So if they assumed at the airport that she was drunk, it makes sense they didn't let her on. So she went back to the resort, but she wasn't allowed to check back in there either due to the disruption she had made while she was there. So they had to look into other hotels in the area, but they couldn't find a place that would take her. From the parking lot of one of these hotels, Kerry called Marcus and put Magda on the phone. In this video call, Magda can be seen on the streets of Marsa-Alam crying. She is clearly upset and shaking. Marcus asks her many times, "What is it, Magda? What have they done to you?" The conversation is quite hard to understand, and many sites online speculate about what is being said. And of course, Allie and I have to rely on translations of what people think she had been saying, because we don't speak Polish, as you can probably tell from our pronunciation of these words tonight. But some translations of what was said in these conversations include things like, so at 2 minutes 43, she was saying, "They do everything with me. They have tricks here. Take me from here, please." Then at 4 minutes 11 seconds, she says, "They raped me," but she like whispers this. And then her boyfriend says, "Really?" And she says, "Yes." And she says it twice, and then she's nodding her head. Then 2 minutes later, she clearly whispers, "They raped me." And then at 7 minutes, 11 seconds, when Marcus asks Magda to go to the embassy, she replies, "This will change nothing. It's too far. This will change nothing. This will change nothing. This will change nothing." And then at 8:46, she says, "I will not come back from here. I can't talk. I'm sorry." Marcus asks another time what happened, and she answers cryptically with the letter M. Then at the end of the video, an Egyptian man appears in the frame and says the conversation has been a waste of time and the connection is terminated. This man has been identified as that tour guide, Mahmoud Kari.
In the video, it sounds like she's crying as she's speaking to Marcus. And despite the fact that he's constantly trying to get information out of her, she just won't or can't speak freely. Possibly it's because of the people that are around her, but that's just pure speculation, to be honest. And so who is the M in the video that Magda mentions? That is also open to speculation in the True Crime and Unsolved Mysteries online forums. Is it Mahmoud Kari, or is she trying to leave a trace that Marcus might be involved? Or is she possibly saying that it's Marcus's friend Mache? We just need to take a quick break for a word about one of our sponsors this week, ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Are you posting your position to job sites and waiting for the right people to see it? ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for. It identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter, they get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there, and ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter with their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/site. That's ZipRecruiter.com/site. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. On Saturday afternoon, April 29, Magda's behaviour has again become paranoid and delusional. Kari and another member of the hotel staff take her back to the same hospital she was at the day before. However, what happened to Magda here is again subject to speculation online. Some reports say she was taken to hospital by a group of men. Another report says that she was found unresponsive in her hotel room and she was transported to hospital. Either way, she was transported to a small private hospital in Mazar Alam. Another online video shows a woman, allegedly to be Magda, being mistreated while in hospital. A group of men and one woman, who are supposed to be hospital staff, and this is heavily debated online due to the casual clothing some of the people are wearing and the way they are handling Magda. Regardless, in the video, the group of men and one woman can be seen aggressively handling the woman who is presumed to be Magda. In the end of the video, she's carried away from the camera's reach. What happens next is the official word from the hospital. Once she is taken to her hospital room, Magda makes multiple attempts to jump out the window. Staff restrain her and tie her to the bed using linen and towels. A short time later, and reports vary here as to when this happened, whether on the 29th or on the following day, the 30th, but Magda has her restraints removed and was allowed to use the bathroom. Once this happens, she immediately went on the defensive. She arms herself with an IV stand and attacks a nurse. Reports then state Magda jumped from the second-story window and landed on a flight of concrete steps. Magda survived the jump but was badly injured. She was transferred to the larger Red Sea Hospital in Hurghada, which is 180 miles or about 300 kilometres from Mazar Alam. It is here where she would die only hours later. Marche arrives at the hospital soon after and he is given the news of Magda's passing.
What happened to Magda differs greatly depending on whether you're reading reports from Egypt or from Poland. Dr. Mohamed Sami Goma, the director of the Mazar Alam Port Ghalib Hospital where Magdalena was originally taken, dubbed her death a, quote, normal accident or possibly a suicide. They state that Magda was in a depressive state due to Marcus not being able to join her on their trip. However, the Polish press were not convinced that Magda's death was a suicide, basically because there's no evidence that she was in a depressive state. None of her behaviors leading up to the trip indicated that Magda was depressed, and I'm sure she was let down that Marcus couldn't go, but she had the option of staying home. She chose to go by herself. An autopsy was completed in Egypt on May 9th, 2017, with a Polish official present. A second autopsy was performed in Poland on May 19th, so 10 days later. The findings from the autopsies have not been fully made public. However, the preliminary medical findings of the Egyptian autopsy indicated that Magda jumped or fell from the window and her injuries caused her to go into a coma. She suffered from bone fractures to her face, pelvis, chest with a possible concussion. You have to assume a definite concussion, but that's what the report says. The Polish tabloid Pudelek ran a story headlined 27-year-old Pole murdered in Egypt, incorrectly stating that she had been found in her room with mysterious head injuries. The story included allegations made by Magda's sister that she had been date raped. The tabloid Fact leaked a medical document claiming that Magda had serious injuries to only the left side of her body. Her leg was shattered in three places, her ribs had punctured her left lung, and she had head injuries that were on the left side only. It was the findings in this medical report that Magda's injuries could not have been caused by deliberately jumping out of the window. Magda would have had to have been unconscious at the moment of impact to the ground. There are more than 24 Facebook groups with 73,000 members created about this case alone. A week after Magda's death, an online poll launched by the tabloid, the Polish Express, showed that in a sample of 8,000 people, 96% believed she had been murdered.
The sad thing here is the truth almost becomes secondary to all the conspiracy and accusations going back and forth between the two countries. On one side, you have people claiming that Magda was drugged and or raped and murdered here without anything outside of Magda's phone call to Marcus or without a true investigation. I mean, they believe the Egyptian government are covering it all up because of tourism, and we'll get into that in a moment. Honestly, the Polish media have just drove this case into being ridiculous and relying on scaremongering. The other party isn't innocent either. On the other side, there was no transparency with the Egyptian authorities, and that has only drove the speculation and conspiracy theories.
I think we've seen this before, and I know you follow, and when I am on Facebook, I follow a lot of case discussion groups. And there are different types of case discussion groups. Some are run really well, And it's a lot of open discussion about the facts of the case. But we've also both been in ones that are very, very poorly run, where it is a lot of speculation, a lot of blind accusations, and reports from tabloids. Like that first one I mentioned, I went on their website and half their articles are about Kardashians. So they're not exactly doing breaking news coverage of this incident. So we've both seen this, and I think it's one of those dangers. We've talked about it in other cases of the internet getting involved.
The Egyptian government tried to stop media coverage of Magda's death going forward. Tourism had already slumped in the country due to terrorism and instability, and the government had already been spending millions to boost the tourism industry. After the hospital director Goma appeared on Egyptian television discussing the incident, the public prosecutor called him directly and told him to not to speak to the press anymore. The police then started the range of interviews. They interviewed Carey shortly after Magda's death, but released him without charge. People in Mazar Alam say that he has, quote unquote, disappeared and deleted his Facebook account. There were suggestions that the letter M referenced in the FaceTime call between Magda and Marcus had been a reference to Mahmoud. There is a YouTube clip of Magda in hospital which has been viewed more than 250,000 times, and it's titled Magdalena Jouk, Egyptian Hospital, Why with Mahmoud Carey. He seems a popular suspect with the online sleuths.
It seems like if he just ditched her in this state, he would be the worst human being ever. But then the fact that he didn't and he stayed with her is now making him a suspect. I mean, what could he have done in the situation where he wouldn't be looked at poorly? And it seems like nothing. Whatever he did, people were going to look bad upon him.
I mean, to me, it seems that he was being responsible in his role. He was making sure she was safe. He took her to hospital. He took her to the airport. He brought her back from the airport. He found her some accommodation until she could get home. But because of how the story ends, I think people just want someone to blame, and he is the easiest person to blame because he was the one that was there.
Right. And he looks like the one person who's actually honestly trying to help her.
Exactly. So focus then was placed on Magda's boyfriend, Marcus. Now, there are unsubstantiated rumors which claim that he is a drug dealer and he was using Magda to smuggle narcotics into Egypt. Another story says that he sold her into a sex trafficking organization. But he claims that Magda did all the organization for the trip herself and he didn't know about it much in advance. As we said earlier, he only knew about the trip the day before they were leaving, hence the passport or visa issue. Therefore, how could he be the mastermind behind anything here? Some reports are stating that Magda even borrowed money from her parents for the trip. Marcus even tried to sell both the tickets before Magda left because he didn't want her to go on her own without him. Although I have read one report that someone did offer to buy the tickets, but he wouldn't sell them to them. But I couldn't find any solid source that backs this claim up.
A Polish detective agency, the Lampart Group, did some work on this case, and they came up with a list of 72 people who they say were responsible for trafficking and ultimately murdering Magda. However, from what I can understand, Marcel Lam is actually a pretty unlikely sex tourism destination. It's definitely a vacation destination, but we're talking hotels full of families and older people. There really isn't any nightlife that you would think of. Another story posted on the Polish news site, PKO, suggested Magda had been a victim of a criminal network led by a local mob boss named Captain Khalid. The anonymous Polish author claimed that the group targets European women traveling alone, drugging them in their hotel rooms and charging rich, quote-unquote, sheiks to have sex with their unconscious bodies. Now, there is another similar death that does have a link to Magda. On January 15th of 2016, Karolina Koksarowski left with a group of friends from Wrocław to Karpacz in Poland to celebrate her 30th birthday. Karolina was an international model, and she had paid for herself and all of her friends to stay at a resort for the weekend. Karolina's body was later found hanging from a cord from her hair straightener by the maid the morning after the group arrived, and it was immediately ruled a suicide with no further investigation being ordered because there was no evidence found that could tie a third party to the crime scene. The same detective agency we were talking about that's now working on Magda's case, the Lampart Group, they also worked on Karolina's case after her family did not accept the ruling that she had taken her own life. And after investigating, it was determined that Karolina was in fact murdered. And the man they named is only known as Kamil P. And the connection to Magda is that he is friends with Magda's boyfriend, Marcus. They grew up together. They went to boarding school together. And they were still mixed in that same friend group when both Karolina and Magda had died. Again, Marcus has denied any involvement or even being that close to Kamil P. And he said that Kamil did not know Magda or of her trip away. This investigation is ongoing, but from what I can gather from the translated articles, it's that Marcus is just not a person of interest in the death.
On May 4th, 2017, Polish reality TV star Krzysztof Rakowski announced that Magda's parents had approached him to launch his own investigation into the death. Now, Krzysztof is not a licensed detective and once spent 14 months in prison for illegally arresting a man. So take from that how seriously you can take his investigation. But on May 9th, he told the media that he didn't believe the Egyptian version of events. He claimed that Magda couldn't have died from falling from a second floor due to her athletic ability and marathon training. He instead proposed that she'd been drugged by a quote-unquote organised rape gang, in which Carrie had played a key role. In a YouTube video viewed almost 3 million times, he claimed it was Carrie who had prevented her from boarding the plane back to Poland and not her mental state at the time. Krzysztof has also called for the dismissal of the Polish ambassador to Egypt. He accused him of quote-unquote doing nothing to help a citizen whose life was in danger. Using the slogan "Never Again," he organised a protest outside the Egyptian embassy in Warsaw, urging the authorities to quote-unquote punish those responsible for the death of Magdalena Żuk and ensure greater security at tourist resorts. Despite his earlier protests, his final findings into the case was that Magdalena did in fact commit suicide. Again, Krzysztof is a reality TV star and he has no formal training. In the end, his involvement was not very popular with those who knew Magda. During one discussion on live TV about his investigation, he interrupted the discussion to propose to his girlfriend. Under mounting pressure, though, the Polish authorities did step up their investigation. A request from Magda's parents to oversee the investigation was personally accepted. The Minister for Justice has made frequent statements, which is against normal protocol for the country.
I don't know if this was an accident or murder. I don't think it was suicide unless she was possibly drugged with something that caused some kind of mental break that she then... But that wouldn't be suicide. Like, I don't think she committed suicide in her right mind. I think it's unfortunate that the one person in Egypt who was attempting to help her and get her on that plane and get her out of the country, and then when he couldn't, he tried to get her to a safe space. He tried to get her to the hospital multiple times. I think it's terrible that he's coming under suspicion when he was really, from what I have read, just trying to help her. I don't know what the root of this was, but I don't think they've uncovered it. I don't think she was depressed and she jumped out a window. I think there's more to the story, and my heart breaks for her family and her boyfriend to know that there's a truth here that they're having an extremely hard time getting to because the investigating agency in Egypt wrote it off so quickly.
I do think something did happen in Egypt. I don't think that she was murdered. As you said, Charlie, I don't think it's suicide. I think that something was going on to make her feel that she was in danger and she had to get out of that hospital. And in her mind, that jumping out the window was the only way she could escape. What that thing is that happened, I don't think we'll ever know. I don't think that the Egyptian authorities really want to follow this up to have more bad publicity about the country. Unfortunately for her family, I don't think we'll ever know. Anna, Magda's sister, spoke to the Polish media and said, "My sister has never suffered from a mental illness or had any such behaviour in her life. This hate is terrible. They're pulling out terrible things. Some say that we got money for silence. There are people who claim that there are porn movies with our participation and that's why we cannot say anything. They intimidate us. I'm accused that I am the uglier sister and am jealous of Magda." Magda's boyfriend Marcus does not speculate about what happened. He's straight out with it. He says, "If she's had a nervous breakdown, why? Why was there a tragedy in the hospital where Magda was supposed to be safe?"